My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and El Camino.
Yeah. And this week we're talking about Hermanos, which is an episode written by Sam Catlin and George Masters, directed by Johan Renck, and it originally aired on September the 4th, 2011. I need you to stop saying El Camino with an N-Y.
I did it for a while and I stopped for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You don't remember? I think it's cuter and smaller.
Okay.
And I like it.
Okay.
The El Camino.
All right. Okay.
It's a small car. It's Stuart. Imagine Stuart Little escaping from the meth lab slavery.
An El Camino is not a small car.
Yeah. No, this one, an El Camino is, though.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All it's right. Just like, imagine, you know, like, I think of Jesse as little Stuart Little.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. This is a great episode of this show.
I love this so much.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a highlight,
mm-hmm.
To me. This is a Gus episode.
Yeah.
And it's our first Gus episode. Like, Gus has been mysterious,
mm-hmm.
this entire time. We're getting things from his point of view. We're learning about his past. We're learning how he got involved with the cartel. We realize why he hates the Salamancas,
mm-hmm.
Here in a, you know, deliciously brutal scene. It's extremely good.
Yeah. Like, this feels, I don't know, it comes out of nowhere a little bit, him and Hector specifically.
Yeah.
I forget how late this is introduced and kind of how little they do with Hector up to this point. You know, like, there's literally just having these two have this origin moment is a great example of picking up memorable toys that they left around, and making incredibly good use out of them.
And it works because we haven't spent that much time with Gus.
Right.
So, like, the track they've laid before does not occlude having Gus have a personal vendetta.
Yes.
Up until this point, we're just like, you know, Gus is a cold professional and Gus likes money, you know, but we just have not spent very much time with him. He's mm-hmm. such an imposing character and the performance is so powerful that, like, he looms really large in every scene.
Yeah.
And we know he's kind of, you know, a puppet master. We get these little hints,
yeah,
but we don't spend a lot of time with him, you know? So now, that they actually, like, put all their cards on the table, I love how from this point forward, they're going to fill that in. And when I say forward, I also mean Better Call Saul.
Yes.
You know, and it ends up just making sense in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I don't know if it was planned ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could have been. It feels like it fits really perfectly. If it's a retcon, it's a great retcon.
It would be bizarre and a bad choice for them to make him essentially like the cousins, where,
yes,
you know, he's going to die at the end of the season, right? You know, if he just went without having any, like, emotional core to him other than cold and calculating or just being a foil to Walt, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he'd be a cartoon supervillain.
Right.
He'd be a comic book character instead of something a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. This is when people were disappointed when Breaking Bad picked up again with season 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people don't like season 5 as much. I still love season 5.
Yeah.
You know, Walt versus Hank and Walt versus Mike are both beautiful to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they were missing.
Yeah.
This upshift in season 4, when we get into this just really complicated and emotionally brutal shit,
mm-hmm.
Is, I think, that, like, kind of peak Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Kind of here from here until the end of season 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it begins here. It's great.
Yeah.
Super great.
The other portion of this episode is also very good to me. Hank is continuing his investigation, and we get one of our first real Hank and Gus scenes that is not just kind of, you know, joking at the, you know, either at the office or at Gus's office at the restaurant, you know, like, this is them getting into direct confrontation. Hank is going rogue with his investigation into Gus, and has roped Walt in unknowingly.
Yes.
Like, hey, Walt, do you want to be implicated in the noose tightening on your boss?
Yeah, it's great. I love what this does to Walt.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. We never actually get Gus's entire backstory
right
through this. We've had a couple of hints before. We get a little bit more here now. Earlier, we had Hector refer to Gus as Generalissimo.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince Gilligan said the team specifically avoided writing a complete backstory
yeah.
for him.
Yeah.
We know he's involved in Chile. and he was called a general, mm-hmm. and that's basically it.
Yeah.
Other than like the shadow he leaves, like the fact that whatever he did, whatever he was, commanded enough respect for the climax of this episode,
right,
to happen. You know, for him not to be murdered at the end of this.
Yeah.
That's great as mm-hmm. well. It reminds me, you're bringing it back to comic books because comic books also do big long form storytelling. How shitty it was when they figured out what Wolverine did. Like yeah. they did his origin. It was so stupid. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, we just had a lot of little hints like this.
Yes.
And it's so much better. writers, don't tell us.
Yeah.
Like this kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you have a character like that, that is, has this kind of flavor, mm-hmm. let us savor that flavor.
Yeah.
You know,
a little bit of a theater of the mind, right? Like
yeah.
it's, you know, him being mysterious up until a certain point when we know him, I think serves him very well. So a little bit of trivia on this. I didn't realize it, but Gus's former partner, Max Arcinega, is named after the actor who played Crazy Eight. In yeah. a nice little homage. They liked that actor a lot. I'm really happy that he comes back in mm-hmm. Better Call Saul. One of the better handled kind of reprises that we get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, though, it's mostly content in this.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of trivia, but there's a lot to get to, so we should hop to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our cold open is a flashback. Remember after Hank, you know, killed the cousins, you know, shooting one mm-hmm. of them in the head and severing the other one's legs beneath the knee. We're at the hospital, you know, with Walt talking with Gus, getting the, you know, thank me and walk away kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we go up and we see Walt watching the second cousin die. Meanwhile, Gus leaves the hospital to go and engage in the thing that is ultimately going to be his end, right?
Yes. Even though I've realized during this, as much as it's kind of, I don't think it speaks well of me, I love every single one of these scenes mm-hmm. in a, like a visceral way, not yeah. just, you know, oh, it's well thought, it's well shot and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck that guy.
Oh yeah.
Like this fires my, like the baser side of my nature that loves revenge and emotional torture of a bad person.
Hector being just such a terrible person
yeah.
up and down makes this good, and I think
delicious.
It's like, very delicious. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the way things work out at the end of this season
yeah.
by Walt giving Hector what he wants, I think is an even, you know, one of the bigger signals for the way he's going to go.
Yes. Well, and he also, like, I haven't dipped into season 5 yet. I've been trying to keep with the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everything, but you know, YouTube will serve you up a clip and I'll have an odd amount of time to kill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, I'll watch the scene with Mike, the end of Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it changes him so much.
Yeah.
Like getting that, you know, it's so good. But like Salamanca's got to fucking go.
Yeah.
Like there is, you know, it's one of the things I've been saying since the beginning of the show. Like Walt fucking sucks. He brought down the Salamancas though.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of good.
Yeah.
You know, that might be worth it in the end. I don't know. they gotta go.
Yeah. So we should say directly what's going on. So
yes.
Gus leaves the hospital and goes to the nursing home to taunt Hector, right? Wheelchair bound, nonverbal, can only communicate through bells. Hector goes there and sits down. Hector is looking away from him, not just in a reduced mobility, like can't control himself way, very pointedly not looking Gus in the eye. It's the
only sign of disrespect he has the physical capacity to make.
Yes.
Yeah. At this point.
And Gus gives him the highlights, talking about, you know, how the last two of his nephews died, talking about, you know, offering up Hank instead of Heisenberg. And a call was placed, and Juan Bolsa might know more about this, but, you know, he was killed in a raid. So,
yeah, it was an accident.
Yeah.
You know, and then it looks at him and says, this is what comes of blood for blood, Hector. Mm-hmm. Look at me. He won't do it yet.
Yeah.
We'll get there. And then the cold open ends with a shot of blood spreading out through the water of a swimming pool.
Yeah.
There. This is a little cheeky. Mm-hmm. The whites have a swimming pool. They're always doing this shit.
Yeah.
We're going to find out what this is at the end.
Yes. So present day, Walt is at an imaging center in a locker room getting ready to get a PET scan. And he is kind of getting changed alongside this, you know, younger guy, kind of coded as like a yuppie businessman kind of dude who is very nervous. You know, kind of given what seems like the same talk that he gives other people when they ask how he's doing kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rehearsed. He's new to cancer.
Yes.
I mean, you know, for lack of a better word, Walt is very uninvested.
Yeah.
And that's like, he takes a phone call and the guy continues. He needs to talk to somebody. He's really nervous. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing this for one of the first times. And he, you know, he says like, you know, we had all these plans. My wife and I were going to have a baby and everything. But like they say, man plans and God laughs. And Walt says, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, don't give up control. You know, and he basically explains, you know, that I have to come in here every 3 months. At one point I'm going to come in and they're going to tell me I'm going to die. But until then, you know, I'm in charge. Every life comes with a death sentence. Mm-hmm. That's how I live live my life.
Yeah. In a way, life is death. Yeah. Yeah.
This is him posting on Facebook that he's loyal but dangerous. you know, a little bit. He went to the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. It's funny that the scene is in the rest of this episode where he is such a scared little rabbit.
Oh, I mean, it's
it's on purpose, but like, yeah,
in a whole season where he's such a scared little rabbit.
Yeah.
You know, like he he's a blowfish. He's puffing up here for somebody who doesn't know any better, someone who has shown vulnerability to him, and he can, you know, be a badass, you know, in this moment, you know, to hell with your cancer, you know, but I'm in charge. I'm in control. That's how I live my life. When, you know, like when he says, I'm the one who knocks, nothing could be further from the truth.
And he wakes up the next day and he regrets that.
Yeah.
You know, like he's never going to see this guy again, so he's not going to have a chance to regret this. But this idea that he has these like flights of fantasy, where he is the man that he hopes he is and wants to be. And then all the rest of the time where he's not.
Yeah.
And that's what, again, like that's that pivot to season 5 where at the end of the season, he flips to actually believing it and then fucks everything up. Mm. Like I have very little time for people who don't like season 5. Of Breaking Bad. So we get a cut to Walt getting suited up in the lab. He's putting on his clothes. We get a seamless cut. He's suiting up in the lab. Gus is watching through the security camera. And I love that he's got like all the Poyos security cameras and then just a little Walt. Like picture in picture. Little Walt cam.
Yeah. And then something that doesn't happen happens. Like this isn't just a cutaway showing that he's always being watched. We're switching. This is the handoff. This is the handoff of point of view. We are now following Gus. Like he does a little work task. He goes out and, you know, gives a little lesson on how to descale the fryer. Right.
Yeah. Use fresh water from the freezer, not tap water. Yeah. Gets a call from the police, and then we cut to him at the courthouse.
Yeah.
During this entire scene, they're doing great work with like micro expressions, like just showing his hand twitching or showing his face, kind of like him holding it steady. Yeah. Actively, you know, during this, it's really good. Great performance.
Yeah.
When he's here, he spots a sketch of Victor on the wall and sees Hank. So he knows something's up.
Yes.
And he comes in for the informal chat. Hank, Gomi, Asak Schrader, and Tim, the homicide detective.
And Gus pleasantly waves his right to an attorney. Like, hey, you know, this isn't like an interrogation or anything, but you do have the, you know, the right. And Gus, you know, is confident. You know, does not want to raise suspicion here. And they tell him, hey, your fingerprints were found at the site of a crime. You know, a drug manufacturer, suspected drug manufacturer was murdered. And Gus says, oh, Gail Bettiker.
Yeah, I love it. Gail Bettiger, you know. Hank is just staring at him like laser eyes into him. And Gus lays out his story, which is great. You know, again, just like super plausible. Yeah. Master of his craft. You know, he created this chemistry scholarship in honor of his old business partner, Max Arciniega. Gail won the scholarship before he graduated in 1999, and he's, you know, acting perfectly during it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you stayed in contact with him? He's like, no.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I ran to him at the restaurant. He invited me over for dinner. I accepted. He's like, oh, just for fun? No, I think he was asking for money.
Yeah.
You know, like he has good answers to all of Hank's like little gotchas. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, just for fun? Oh, you kept in touch with him? That's weird. He's a drug dealer. It's like, no. No, it's not what you think.
You know, it's painting a picture, you know, of Gale as somebody who would be at risk, somebody who is doing, you know, involved in shady stuff and getting desperate, saying, you know, yes. Well, he didn't say, but, you know, he wanted money. He spoke in terms of investments, but I turned him down. And just the continual shitting on Gale Baedeker's memory here, you know, saying Gale was an incredibly talented chemist, but for reasons I never understood, he was more interested in taking shortcuts than what would have been a very promising career.
Well, it's also, that's him talking about Walt, too.
Yes, yeah.
Right? So, like, Walt is a great chemist, but he can't get his shit together.
Right.
And keeps doing things, and they could have just got the $3 million and, you know, left.
Yeah.
You know, Tim asks for Gus's alibi. He checks his notebook and says he was at a fundraiser. Of course, he was at, like, a fundraiser.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And then ASAC's like, well, we're fucked. Like, we don't have anything. Does anyone else have any more questions? And then Hank throws Gus for the first time. says, hey, is Gustavo Fring your real name?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my real name. You know, like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no record, you know, of him living in Chile. Like, a paper trail begins when he immigrated to Mexico.
Right. In, 1986, which is right after the
year that...
Yeah, Pinochet fell.
Pinochet was assassinated, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Gus, is this the first time we've seen him back-footed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I think, yeah. You know, this is cracks really starting to show, right? Yeah. You know, he composes himself and says, you know, among the many crimes of Pinochet, you know, nobody would accuse them of keeping very good records, right?
Yeah.
And this is true. You know, they say, even here in America, like, immigration records didn't get super detailed or scrutinized until after, you know, 9/11.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know, so Gus leaves, and we get this close up of his twitching fingers. Like, it's the one part of his body that's escaping, you know, and this close up on his face, and he's just glowering like this fucking sucks, man. me sewing, you know, me reaping. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Me sewing. So that we cut back to the cops afterwards. And they're just like, well, he fucking got us, you know? And Hank keeps pushing it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's saying they believe it. But he's like, the guy didn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, in before 1996, and ASAC's like, no, I believe the story. Everyone says he believes the story. But Hank says, you know, if that guy's such a good friend of the police, why didn't he come forward when Gale was murdered?
Yeah.
Which is also, like, kind of weird,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I don't know why he would just be like, hey, I knew that guy.
Yeah.
You know, this is Hank reaching. Like, the great thing about this is that when they think they have nothing on one another, they're both right at the time they think it.
Yes.
It's just things keep falling into place to make that less true, largely because of Walt bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these outside concerns.
Well, Walt bullshit and Hank's tenacity, right?
Yeah. Hank's tenacity. And then, like, also cartel war.
Yeah.
You know,
You know, and ASAC raises a good point here, saying, yeah, we can't predicate a criminal investigation on a person not making phone calls. Right.
Yeah. He's not responsible for that.
Yeah.
Tim says he's going to follow up, but Hank still got the itch.
Mm-hmm.
We cut over to Saul. Saul goes over to Andrea's place, Jesse's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, to give her money from Jesse.
Yes.
You know, we get to see Saul and Brock, again, one of the all-time cutest kids. one of the better comedy cuts in the show. He's like, hey, you know, he's talking to Brock, and we cut over to Jesse waiting outside and then cut back to him in the middle of a story. and he's talking about, he's like, yeah, I never actually sealed the deal with that girl, you know, the crush I had, but, you know, carpe diem, Brock. At the end of the story, it's great. Him giving dating advice to Brock.
Just a story from back when he was 7 in the 60s.
Yeah. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Here, you can actually watch it, but watch it if you want to. There's a cartoon about it. It's intolerable. It's called Slippin' Jimmy. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I love that Brock is into it too. Brock just loves being talked to like a little adult like this.
Brock is so good.
Yeah.
Saul goes to leave, and Andrea goes, hey, like, how is Jesse? Mm-hmm. And Saul's like, you know, busy.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't give a real answer. He comes back out, and Jesse asks the same thing. Like, how are they? And Saul says, like, I don't mind playing, you know, Ed McMahon every week, handing over a check, but if you want to know, you should just ask them yourself.
Yeah.
You know, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. But Jesse wants to maintain distance.
Yeah. Jesse bounces.
Yeah. So a little comedy bit here, some physical comedy with Skylar, putting the laundered money into literal laundry. She's got these vacuum garment bags and is hiding the bricks of money in between clothes, set to some really like jaunty Latin jazz, you know. Mm-hmm. She tries hanging them up, in the closet, and it's so heavy that it breaks the hanger rod. So she has to stash them down in the crawl space, which has more cobwebs than have ever existed in a cubic foot.
They really cobweb that shit up.
Yeah.
Like, not like, I mean, that's crawl spaces for you.
Yeah.
But also, I would, that money would be dead to me. I just like, it's the spiders that belongs now. To the next person who gets the house. Yeah. The spider's going to have a party. They're going to have a fly feast. That night, Hank and Marie come over for dinner. Marie is thinking about moving up to management, and the rapport is back between Marie and Hank.
Yeah.
Hank says something that is insulting, like, middle America, watch out. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas if he had said that like three episodes ago.
Yeah.
I just portmanteaued away and ago into a gay.
Yep.
Boy, I need to sleep better and more.
Probably.
Confused and dehydrated. Three episodes ago, it would have been like a fight.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's needling her, but now it's taken in, it's presented and taken in good humor.
Yes.
Like they're fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same words, but the tone is really different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Junior, you know, changes conversation. He doesn't want to hear about how management doesn't understand X-ray text.
X-rays,
and asks, like, hey, you know, just, hey, Dad, did you get your scan results back? And Walt announces, yep, I'm in remission. You know, this is good news. And he says, well, you're stuck with me a little longer, which is a sentiment that is going to curdle in about five episodes.
Yep.
maybe seven. Yeah.
Marie brings up a big meeting with the DEA. Hank won't give any details. And this makes Walt a little nervous. And he says, you know, hey, Walt, tomorrow, you know, Marie's busy. Would you drive me to this mineral show?
Yeah.
And they go to the next day. I love this. I love Walt being into the minerals.
Yeah.
This is really cute. Like, I used to, you know, I don't collect anymore, but I used to when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, nothing really special, but I had this very special piece of morganite, you know.
It was treated. It had that classic pink, almost like a salmon cast.
Yeah.
And
love it.
Hank isn't in the mineral hole anymore. That isn't his obsession. He's thrown this aside. This is pretext. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just like, listen, Walt, there's no mineral show, you know, as he directs them. Eventually they go to, you know, the reveal that they're going to Pollos Hermanos.
You hungry?
And then Hank, one of the things that is, that's funny about the show is that Walt, as much as Bryan Cranston is a great actor,
mm-hmm.
If anyone in the world could read micro expressions, the show wouldn't have happened.
Oh God. Yeah.
When Walt has to play nervous about this stuff, it's pretty big. You know, cause Hank's just laying it out and Hank's just being Hank, like, yeah, you know, I got this theory about Gus. He's a big drug guy, you know?
Yeah.
You had mentioned this thing about Gail and Hank just looks like he's like shaking.
Uh-huh.
Like it reminds me of LA Noir.
Walt is just like, you know, just a little thing. If you want to project confidence, do not keep looking around. Like
what are you looking for?
Like your eyes should not constantly be moving. They should be fixed, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, so you remember how you said Gail, you know, just like he wasn't this mastermind, that there had to be somebody else. Well, you know, here's him. You know, aside, you know, like before when Skylar said it was just supposition. You know, but here it is. No, like he is, talk about sowing and reaping, right?
Yeah, exactly. Skylar was right.
Yeah.
You know? Mentions the fingerprints, you know, and he's like, oh, do you think he killed him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, these guys always use a dunce to pull the trigger on this stuff. And Walt is trying to like simultaneously press him for information about this, but Hank's just like, let me tell the story.
Yeah.
You know,
let me get there, bud.
Yeah. And Walt eventually cuts the chase. Like, I'm not going to get out of this. Why are you telling me this? And Hank lays it on him. I need a favor. Look, this little GPS tracker I got on Sky Mall.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to put it on Gus's car.
Yeah.
You know, just pretend like you're tying your shoes, stick it up in the wheel well.
Yeah. And later we're going to have to come back and grab it and we'll see where he's been. Yeah. And as Hank is describing the plan, I love this. Mike pulls up beside them. It's in the background of the shot, but he just kind of pulls up and gives Walt a little nod and pulls out a newspaper.
It's so good. Yeah. And this is Walt, you know, Walt's like, oh, we're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't do this. You know, this is a mistake. And Hank's like, come on, man, don't make me beg. And Mike gives a little nod.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Act natural. But Walt, you know, chickens out. He goes and goes to do it, kneels down, but then goes inside.
Yeah.
I love Gus like pushing the worker aside. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll take this one. This man's poker face is legendarily bad. You will be suspicious.
Sir, may I help you?
Yeah, it's really good.
And Walt, in front of everybody, pulls out this device and says, I didn't do it. I need you to know that I'm loyal. And the delivery on Gus, you know, with this rictus grin saying,
yeah.
Do it. May it's I help really you good. With your order?
Do it. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
So Walt leaves with a drink. He bends down and puts it back. And Hank's like, you know, what the hell was that? He mumbles something about, you know, we need to make sure it was on there.
Yeah.
And then says, hey, where's my soda? You know, it's happened now. Yeah. And Walt's like, oh, I've got a target on my back now.
Yep.
You know, this is the ultimate betrayal. He's underestimating Gus here, mm-hmm. Which is something that he does also
yes.
frequently.
Yeah.
Like, Gus can handle this. If Gus knows it's there, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But he rushes the lab to just kind of scream to the security camera.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I was driving the man to a gem and mineral show. I would never do that.
You know? I love providing that detail.
Yeah. Just, I assure you, my whole family is very lame. Like,
just like, you can understand my enthusiasm. You said gems and minerals. Yeah. I didn't think of it.
Listen, there's this morganite. I thought I'd get it again.
I was blinded by agates. You have to understand.
Surely. Have you ever seen bismuth? For the love of God, Gus.
Majestic. Yeah. So he changes tack, right? Like the panic kind of passes and he says something strategic. He's saying, like, you know, Hank has nothing on you. Based on what he said, it's all just hunches. And if you make a move on Hank, it'll only draw attention. Basically, you know, kind of reiterating related to the cousins, right?
Yes. You know, I will make sure that he discovers nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But next he goes over to Jesse's. He's like, oh, the timetable has moved up. We need to make sure Gus dies.
Yes.
You know, where do we stand with the ricin?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesse avoids it. He's like, well, you tell me if you lost it, right? Listen, we have to do this now.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse's skeptical. He says, no, Hank is on to Gus.
Yeah. Jesse, his first response is like, all right, well, cool. You know, just obviously they're going to take each other out, you know, douchebag plus douchebag equals us free. And Walt says like, hey, if Hank catches Gus, Hank catches us.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, so Jesse says, no, that doesn't make any sense. Hank doesn't have anything. And the reason I know that is because he's not alive or he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like same thing with the guy who was blindfolded.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He understands the game like better than Walt does.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, have you seen Gus since? And he's like, no, I haven't seen him since the diner.
Yeah. Which is a lie.
Yes.
So Walt tells Jesse, just go through Mike, say you heard about them being onto us, say that you're worried about the investigation. And then he just says, and you actually did kill Gail, so there's that, which is just,
yeah.
if you can thoughtlessly stab someone, he just did that.
Yeah. It's very tactless.
Yeah.
You know. So Jesse, he's kind of yelling at him a little bit, and Jesse gets annoyed and goes to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
While he's away, his phone beeps and Walt checks the message and says, today's meeting is off. Boss is busy.
Yes.
So he had a meeting lined up.
Right. And when Jesse comes back out, he says, hey, your phone beeped. And then as Jesse looks at it, he asks, is it anything important? And Jesse says, no. You know, Jesse's being evasive. There's a, you know, breakdown in honesty. Right.
Yep. Yeah. So Mike calls Gus in the office. He says, you are not officially a person of interest or a suspect. Hank is Miss Daisy with binoculars. He's reaching.
Yes.
You know, Gus asks him about Chile, and Mike says, if I can't find anything from Chile, like, he can't either.
Right.
Schrader's not going to be able to. May as well not exist.
Yeah. And Mike kind of lays some reality, saying, all right, well, our bigger concern right now, this is a problem, but our bigger concern is the cartel. You know, like, we can handle one or the other, but you know, if Hank happens to be looking when the cartel makes a move, it could be the perfect storm, which I don't like the phrase perfect storm.
No. I don't like it either.
Yeah. Just a little cliche. Like I don't like that.
Yeah.
No.
It's pretty confusing. Mm-hmm. I know what it means. It means like a storm striking at the worst possible moment.
Yeah. And also just like, the perfect storm, that event, that movie, that story is like, it was like three or four different bad things happening at once that made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't like the inversion of perfect
mm-hmm.
there and everything. Yeah. I don't like it either.
Yeah.
And Gus has to do some therapy abuse. which I love. He's stressed. Uh-huh. This is what he does to unwind. takes the bug off his car, sticks it on a newspaper stand, and goes to torture Hector some more.
Yep. You know? Hector's in the day room, watching something. It's some kind of old person show where they're playing the grandparents' polka.
Yeah, my least favorite Weird Al song.
And Gus catches Hector up, saying that Hank is looking in my past, and we get a flash of the pool and Gus asks, "Is today the day, Hector?" And we're going to get to see, not just a shaken and back-footed Gus in real life. We're going to see Gus trying to break in, like him where Jesse was at the beginning of this.
Yes. Yeah. It's 100% a Jesse Walt scenario. It's also like all of the great tragedies in Breaking Bad. He's authored it.
Yes. Right.
So like what's going to happen in the scene? We're going to get into it, of course, but I assume most people listening have seen it. He did it.
Uh-huh.
Like this was his idea to get involved with the cartel. Like everyone, he is punished for greed. Mm-hmm. In this, and for so there's a parallel there also with Walt, where like if he had just kept his place, mm-hmm. Had not tried to set this meeting and did this risky thing, he would be in a better situation.
Yes.
So it's Mexico in the 80s. It's orange. Mm-hmm. It's the hacienda of Don Eladio.
Yeah.
The head of the Mexican cartel.
Yeah. They're out by the pool and Gus is really nervous. He's kind of pacing. And we see Max, kind of a mm-hmm. younger guy, as a business partner, reassuring him, saying, "Hey, the plan is good. Just be confident. You're good."
And you're a blowfish.
Yeah. And out comes a young Hector. We've seen young Hector before, but it is good to remember that, Margolis, that actor's yeah. name, is especially Mark good. Mark Margolis. There we go. I almost said Don, but yeah.
No, that's
Jane,
like Don. Jane's dad.
Yeah.
The Mark Margolis, one of the reasons why it works at making him young here and making him younger in Better Call Saul mm-hmm. is he has always looked old.
Yes. You go back to Scarface, he looks like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's in Tales from the Dark Side of the movie and he looks exactly like this. he goes and takes a piss in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And Juan Bolsa is like, the boss will have your balls for that. Mm-hmm. No one's going to tell him. But then he turns to Hector turns to Gus and Max and jokes about liking what they see. This is the first implication that Gus is gay.
Yes.
This is canonical later.
Yes.
Here.
People argued about that so much.
Yeah. It's it makes a sense for...
I mean, I understand. Hector would be homophobic anyway, right?
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, it adds to Hector being a shit. Like, his hatred of Gus is rooted in racism and homophobia.
Yes.
Like, in a lot of ways, which, is fine. Makes mm-hmm. makes sense and stuff. When people argued about him being gay, like, he is a non-sexual character for almost the entirety of the show. When people were arguing about it, the thing that frustrated me about those discussions were people like, "Oh, he's a snappy dresser." And I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
please. What the fuck?
Please stop.
What year is it?
Yeah, please stop adding, sexualities to every single possible personality trait. Like, he is, it's part of his story, but like, oh, the evidence is there. He had this look with Max. Uh-huh. He's a snappy dresser. He's fastidious and clean. And I'm like, you realize you're just doing fucking, Catskills. Homophobic comedy when you do that shit. Like, even if you don't mean it that way, even if, like, if you're doing that and like, even if you're gay and you're doing that, it feels like you're still kind of playing in the same tropes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, people can be fastidious and dress well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thing. Do not let them divide us.
Yeah.
But Gus is gay.
Yes. You know, and Bolsa tells them, and I love Bolsa with a full head of hair too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Bolsa tells them, you know, I like your restaurant. And, you know, Hector, you know, chimes in because he has to be. And say, yes, you know, white meat, dark meat, you know, they don't look like brothers to me.
Yeah. Just again, that the racism coming through. And because they're not brothers, they're lovers.
Yes. You know?
And Don Eladio comes out. And Don Eladio is a fucking force of nature.
God, I fucking love Don Eladio so much.
Oh my God. He, like, getting this actor and getting Mark Margolis was such a huge get because these are both guys who, like, play this kind of dude in Scarfaces.
Well, I mean, literally. They played best friends in Scarface. What's his name here? Stephen Bauer. Stephen Bauer. Yeah.
It's a weird secret to the show because they also, it was a big thing with Jonathan Banks as well.
Yeah.
Is you get these heavies who are kind of like past their prime to play heavies that are a little bit past their prime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's classic.
Yeah.
Like they're you know, really, really good at playing this specific part.
Yeah.
Don Eladio is great.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say, because we get this entire cartel and there's all these different flavors of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that we have Don Eladio, and then I love in Better Call Saul when we get Lalo.
Yes.
As an antagonist who kind of takes after this.
Yeah.
You know, they're not all Tuco's, you know, Tuco who is crazy and Hector who is sadistic, mm-hmm. you know, and just cruel.
Yeah.
And then we get this, like, you know, cruelty with a smile,
yeah,
kind of angle of it as well.
You know, outgoing, gregarious kind of front on top of just a, you know, just a ruthlessness, right? Yeah. Like just the demeanor on both of those characters is incredibly disarming.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's part of why when Lalo shows up, like Lalo is one of my favorite parts of any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, having that that performance.
Yeah.
Like I'm really a sucker for this kind of thing.
Yes.
He sets down with them.
Yeah.
You know,
praising the chicken, right? You know, talking about like, yeah, you know, it's spicy. Yeah. So zesty. All of this is in subtitled Spanish.
Yes.
But, you know, it's coming down and just like, yeah, but, you know, but it doesn't taste like a Mexican recipe. You know, we like a lot more kick. Yeah. Just making fun small talk. Right.
Yep.
And, you know, ask them like what's on the menu aside from chicken. And this like this is the trick of this. Of this kind of guy. Well, first,
yeah.
You know, like he's getting them in and just saying like, all right, so, you know, explain to me, you know, like, you know, Max is the chef. What's your role? What's Gus's role? And Gus says, you know, he handles the business operations, establishing this, you know, Gus is the Jesse, right?
Yes.
He's not necessary to the production of the thing that is valuable and is walking into a situation where his role will end up being irrelevant.
Yes. You know, Eladio then says, you know, what else is on the menu aside from chicken? You know, they start mentioning mashed potatoes and biscuits and shit. until he's, you know, no, my men have gotten something other than that.
Yeah.
From there. Because his men have gotten high from there, have gotten meth. And Gus says, you know, oh, I didn't sell your men meth.
Mm-hmm.
I gave them samples, hoping that they would bring them to you. You know, forgive me, but I couldn't think of another way to get your attention.
Yeah, couldn't think of another way to set up this meeting very specifically.
Yes. Yeah.
And Eladio is not impressed, right? You know, here are these two upstarts you know, coming in with another stimulant, right?
Yes. And the best thing in the world where someone's speaking fluent Spanish and then breaks in English words.
Yes.
So you get to hear like beautiful melodic Spanish and then biker and then beautiful melodic Spanish and hillbilly.
Yeah. Es un droga de bikers y hillbillies de Northern Americano.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's one of my favorite things that could ever happen. It's very good. Biker crank. You know, basically that, you know, this is a poor man's cocaine. There's no money in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah,
this is the 80s. It's 80s cartel stuff in Mexico. And Max lays out his case, right? Saying like, I am a biochemist by training. You know, I am not somebody who's working out of a shitty garage, you know, and the meth that we make is not this biker crank that you're familiar with. You know, it's pure, it's glass. And he starts going into Walt speak, talking about the, you know, the chirality of the molecule is entirely different.
Yes. And then, Gus weighs in with the business side of it, the cartel, you could actually triple your profits.
Yeah.
And right now you're being middlemen for the Colombians.
Yeah.
You know, you take a portion, but you could take all of it.
Yeah. You take a portion of the profits, but all of the risk.
Yep. Exactly. It's a, you know, and it's, he's not wrong, but again, mm-hmm. there's this disrespect angle,
yeah.
like being, you know, calling this guy the most powerful person in the country, mm-hmm. a middleman for the Colombian is not great.
Yeah.
Among other things. And Max says, you know, we can show you how to manufacture it here in Mexico. You won't have to yeah. get it from anyone else.
It's entirely artificial. You're not relying on the Colombians even for raw materials.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
So Eladio says, you know, Hector, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you get any glasses for Gus and Max?
Yeah.
Ask about Max, Max's credentials. You know, I studied at the University of Santiago. Gus paid for his education.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's been doing this for a while. This
yes.
exact play. Yeah. You know, and Hector's over, he's watching this as he's over at the bar getting stuff. And Eladio, you know, reiterates this, you know, this question. Okay. So those are impressive credentials, but you know, if Max makes the product, you know, where does Gus fit in? You know, why should I negotiate with someone who doesn't respect me? And yeah. the mask is gone at this point.
Yeah. I love this, this difference in knowing who they're with.
Mm-hmm.
So Gus is shook and he's just apologizing. You know, I didn't mean any insult and everything, but Max starts panicking.
Yes.
Like Max knows this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see, you know, like, please forgive him this small thing. You know, I know Gustavo like a brother. He's an honorable man, the most loyal man I know. I need him. I swear to God. Again, huge parallels, right? This is Walt and Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Then we hear a gunshot, and it was Hector who shot Max through the head.
This is so shocking because
yeah.
you don't see the run up at all. Like the gunshot comes from out of frame.
It's a thing where for some reason in my head when I was thinking about this is that I could never be a henchman to a Don Eladio
mm-hmm.
because I would never pick up these subtle messages like shoot this guy. I'd be over there with drinks like, what? You said to get him drinks. There's no way and like the risk you shoot him, he's like, I didn't want you to do that. I wanted yeah. you to give him drinks. And just be like, well, fuck. I am not cut out for this cartel lifestyle. Like I cannot handle yeah. the subtle intricacies of this communication.
Yeah. Oh boy, I just picked a whole basket of whoopsie daisies. Sorry, yeah. bro.
Yep, well, here goes Mr. Butterfingers. Sorry, Don Eladio.
You know, and Max falls off of the chair and his head kind of dangles over the pool. And the soundtrack is overtaken yeah. by this kind of roar as, you know, Gus is just completely overtaken, grief and rage. He's trying to attack Hector, but Bolsa grabs him and wrestles him down to the pool deck, kind of shoving his face, shoving yeah. him face to face with Max, you know, and Hector says, remember, you did this to him. And now look at him, you know, yeah. as, you know, a sobbing and screaming Gus is, you know, staring his dead
yeah.
partners, you know, in the face, you know, the yeah, glassy dead eyes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a seed of truth to it, right? Yep. Like again, his reach exceeded his grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so all of the best trauma with this kind of thing comes with a little guilt.
Yes.
Right? Like you can't have truly profound trauma without guilt, I feel mm-hmm. like. Like, I mean, you can, of course,
well,
but
yeah,
it
yeah.
is it's an additive. It's a sauce.
Yeah.
That and, makes know, things, you know, work really well dramatically.
I mean, in real life, it's enough of a sauce that guilt will just come along with it, even if it's
yeah.
not there. People will make up yeah. reasons to feel guilty about shit that happens to them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like they just go hand in hand. They're partner yeah. emotions, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. They're the Hermanos emotions. So Eladio stands over Gus and says, listen, the only reason you're still alive and Max is not is because I know who you are. Mm-hmm. We need to understand you're not in Chile anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been, Gus still has enough power with whatever he was in Chile to where that saved his life.
Yes.
So, you know, the other clue we get to is his thing. It was a big enough deal.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been repercussions for killing him.
Yeah.
But not for some nobody.
Yeah. yeah. And, you know, Gus is crying as the, you know, the camera pans to the right and we see the blood just kind of dissolving out into the water, kind of in this yep. big fan. And we're back in the present, you know,
yep.
it's at the nursing home. Yeah.
Yeah. And Gus looks at Hector and says, yo, look at me, Hector,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then he won't. So he gets up, pats him on the shoulder and goes, maybe next time.
Yeah.
You know, I keep peeling parts of your family away
yeah.
until you do. Part of the reason why I think this retcon or this and this detail works so well is because it provides a plausible excuse for Gus to round up some of his suspicions for Walt and Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he was, when he was just like, Jesse's just a junkie, he's not reliable, I think he, you know, obviously truly believed that.
Yeah.
But he probably sees a little bit of himself in Walt and Jesse.
It's a conscious choice to make that parallel, right?
Yeah. You know, like, and him just, you know, him going against his better nature or his best instincts out of this almost like, you know, not a whole lot. I don't think he particularly, you know, is particularly affectionate for them or feels a lot of this, mm-hmm. but just an iota of nostalgia or mere, you know, emotions that are kind of tipping the scales.
It doesn't even have to be a conscious choice.
Yeah.
But, you know, it definitely adds a little bit of intrigue to, you know, when Mike said, you know, he looks at you and he sees loyalty, maybe not for the right guy. Walt never saw anything of himself when he looked at Jesse.
Yes.
When he did start seeing himself in Jesse, when Jesse handed him, you know, excellent methamphetamine, he rejected it. He didn't want anything to do, you know, didn't want anything to do with them. Gus has this commonality or this kinship. I do think that it explains a little bit of why Gus would extend a little bit of this grace. What I also like about this is it not only provides motivation for why Gus would want to go to war against the cartel, right? Mm. Outside of just money, which, you know, in some shows would be enough, but I'm happy they went the extra distance. But like, he has been trying to do what he is doing with Walt and Jesse for a very long time, right? Like, this instance right now set him back decades on his, on his plan to establish a new life outside of Chile, right?
Yeah.
Gail was another attempt to raise up a Max. Like, he had to search out somebody who wasn't just talented in producing meth, but also somebody as morally flexible as a Gail.
Yes.
You know, or ideologically predisposed to get his hands dirty in this very clean and fastidious way. And you can kind of see, like, you know, This is a lifelong project for him, and he is a little bit trapped in an old pattern, just in the way that he is trapped, you know, by his need for revenge.
Well, he's literally trapped in it too. Like, when in the box cutter episode where Walt's like, if you don't have me, you just have this $1 million hole in the ground. It's true.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like, the last two seasons of Better Call Saul are about. Yeah,
exactly. Like, he has to, you know, and even if he's like, okay, this is not worth the risk, you start running into the concerns they bring up in season 5, which is how much it costs just to maintain like the silence.
Yeah.
For this, like, it is a really meticulous house of cards that's masterfully put together, and it just takes one dumb fuck like Walt to, like, knock the whole thing over. You know, beautiful show. What a good show. I'm starting to think this is a good show.
Might be worth doing a podcast about.
Yeah, the first 4 seasons I wasn't so sure, but now that we're near the end of the 4th season, like, good show.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the whole rest of the season. It's full of fucking banger moments. I can't believe the entire Ted subplot is still ahead of us in this season.
Yep.
Like, all that stuff with Ted is coming up. So
if you have thoughts about season 4, you can go to duckfeed.tv/contact and write in. Do that at any time during the season. Like, there, you know, we'll let you know if we have a deadline. We tend to record these really far in advance is the thing.
Yes.
So the sooner the better. If you have thoughts about a particular episode in season 4, or just about the season in general, we read those in the season wrap up episodes.
We talk about the DVD features and stuff. Yeah. There is a non-zero chance this or the next episode will be your last chance.
Yes.
Because we're very far ahead on the show. Mm-hmm. It's just the reality of doing as many shows as we do.
Yeah, this is one we can get ahead on, so we do it.
So other than that, though, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Please leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict. Please listen to our other shows, and please join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen, who also composed and performed our theme song for the show.
Yeah. And until next time, keep your grasp within your reach.
Please. Yeah.